I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, HYPERTHETICAL.
I did want to talk about my cat being in heat, but we covered that. So
yeah, that's the title. I am a cat in heat.
I am a cat in heat. I be popping that pussy. Cause she's literally popping the pussy.
She's putting it out there on display, literally.
Very, very, very envious of her.
Hey y'all, how are you doing? Are you feeling a little southern like I am? With my little southern accent showing. How are you doing? Welcome back, another episode. I'm nervous as fuck, but like, you know that like good nervous feeling, good nervous vibes? Though if you have IBS, it still fucks with your stomach, even if it's like a good nervous and not like a bad nervous. I am nervous because in the next couple hours, I will be performing in Philly. I'm in New York City right now and decided to work this day a half day, one of the dumbest decisions of my life. Honestly, for everyone involved, making mistakes left and right, running back and forth, because of course, yesterday was Valentine, so I was like, well, we gotta slow cook some sweet cheeks. Sweet Cheeks is not in it out. Oh my God. Y'all, I sound crazy. And I hope you're ready for this journey. This episode, though, I do love with someone I very much love, Grace Michaud. We talk about, a lot of things as we do on the pod since we are, you know, a little bit more conversational. We talk about, like, you know, what brings us back to someone that maybe we shouldn't be with. We talk job sucking. Because I think I sometimes wonder, like, oh, is it weird that we, like, in general, like, me and my guests, we go on a lot of different tangents. But then, like, I'll realize, like, no, everything in our lives affects, like, our relationships, including jobs. Like, if you're at a job you don't like and you're burnt out, like, do you think you're going to want to have sex? Do you think you want to do stuff? If it's me, no. If I'm burnt out, I'm like, can I phone this one in? You know, like, and it's real and it's honest. And I think about, like, if I think about 20-year-old me thinking of what my sex life would look like with the love of my life, and it's like so much sex, all the time sex. And that's not the case. That's not true. Even though like my life is surrounded by sex because of the show, that noise is me just like hitting my hand on my knee because I'm getting so passionate about this. But it's hard, right? We assume we are expected to do like this certain amount of sex. And especially for, you know, women, I think there's also this weird a stereotype of like, oh, well, once you're married, you're never having sex again, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, well, do I need to be more sex? Do I need to do X, Y, and Z? And the answer is you need to do what is best for you. Also, I'm so sorry. There's so much background noise. I don't know what I just said. So much background noise. It is a balmy 60 degrees on this February 15th day. So people are out. People are having a good time because how could you not, right? So yeah, this is just a long-winded way to say, yeah, we all go through stuff. Do what is best for you and your libido. Everyone's libidos are different. And then your libido, your personal libido, your personal baby is going to change as with the seasons, with age, with your emotions, your health. I don't know if health is, like if you're feeling little low, little down, it's going to be different. And there's no reason not to. We like barely talk about this in the episode. So again, thank you for going on this little mini journey for me in the intro. Because why not, right? Why not? That's the type of energy that I am bringing today to everyone that experiences me today, whether it is via podcast, via the show, via work. Like, here it is. Here I am. Here we go. Cannot wait for you to listen to this episode. Remember to rate, like, subscribe, share with your friends. Let me know how you feel at awkwardsexandcity@gmail.com or not. Don't email. That's cool. I'm cool with that too. And I will see you on the other side. So 13-hour days, that sucks. That's very hard to, like, have a life, I feel like.
I have no life, and I can't get my library book, which is really frustrating.
Oh, no.
The library closes at 8. I get out at 8. Like, what am I?
Okay, someone, and no one can pick it up for you, right? It has to be, like, with your library card.
I gotta give someone my this is where, like, a boyfriend would be really helpful. Mm. You see, I was telling... When I applied for the Reductress, the one article that got me the interview for a fellowship was I wrote a satire article about how I was describing how I wanted a boyfriend, but I was basically describing a personal assistant.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how I feel. There'll be mornings when I just want coffee and I'm like, it would be so nice if I had a boyfriend to go get me coffee.
I mean, it is great, but then you also have to do stuff for them and you're like, oh man, I don't want to do that. Do extra dishes because you got salmon for me because I was like busy during my lunch break. I mean, you do it because you love them, but it does come in handy to be like, I need you. I need help.
I need this.
I need this.
I need this. Oh God.
But I don't know if you're like me. It took me years to be like, I need help from my partner. Like I would kind of take on everything. Because I'd be like, oh, no, I can't. That's not what relationships are. And it's like, oh, no, I actually, like, I'm drowning. Please help.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, I'm the oldest daughter of an Italian family. So
a lot falls on you.
A lot. And, God, this is, like, timely because, God, yeah, it is. A lot falls on me. And I have been in relationships that the other person relied on me more because I just have this motherly instinct. Like, for example, I, for 6 years, you know, I was on and off with an alcoholic and it was just, he would do the stupidest things, but I still would just be like, oh my God, you know, I gotta help you, blah, blah, blah. I'm slowly learning to undo that.
Didn't I meet him? Didn't he come to one of my shows?
Oh my God, that was like our third or fourth date.
Oh my God, that was him, right?
Wait, I mean, I'm not talking to him right now, so, but then that could change in 2 weeks, so.
Oh, are you still, like, you guys still kind of talk?
Oh my God, how much time do we have? Oh God, it's just like the classic, you know, I was 23 when I met him.
Mm-hmm.
I am now 28, which is, it will be... We met in 2017, so that will be, it'll be 6 years in March since we met. We were on and off because our official, like, boyfriend-girlfriend ended 5 years ago because he cheated on me. But he was a heavy alcoholic.
Mm.
He went to rehab, so I went through that with him. So we were on and off. We've been on and off for 6 years. The past few months, I've really been, like,
no.
Limiting information, really trying not to. It's hard. It takes a while. I can't quit cold turkey, unfortunately. But yeah, now I'm like, oh my God, I'm turning 29 in a few weeks. Most of my 20s can be defined by this one man.
but that's okay. I mean, like, 30s are great. My only advice is, like, really take care of your body. I feel like I did not, and 30 hit me and was like, here's a lot of health issues. But, like, your 20s are, like, meant to make, like, these mistakes. And you'll make them in your 30s, too. That's okay. What was the reason this last time that you were like, I gotta walk away?
Oof, we got into a big fight. And also, sorry, side note, if you hear, like, moaning, our youngest cat is currently in heat right now.
Oh, aren't we all?
Yeah. And, like, I'm on my period, so it's like, girl, we both horny.
Oh, my God, are you guys synced up?
We're synced up. It's really special. But she keeps going after my male cat, Charlie, and Charlie is asexual because I chopped those off. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's useless, so I feel bad. But I feel so bad for her. Just a few more days, I think. And then, but yeah, so we're all horny in this house. We won't. God, I'm a cat in heat. That's some awkward Sex in the City for you.
That may be the title. I'm a cat in heat.
My cat in heat. Like, this morning, I was in the bathroom. The door was open a crack. Mm-hmm. And my cat, Charlie, has to follow me into the bathroom because he's a mama's boy. And Grenadine, all I see in the crack of the door is Grenadine's, like, butt in the door. Because they do this thing where they lift up their butt and slash, you know, pussy.
Yeah.
Because, like, they're receiving it. And that's all I see in the door crack. Like, she literally was trying to trap him. Girl.
It's truly, like, what I do to have sex. I just, like, show my ass of, like, let's do this. Let's go.
That's a great, that's a mating call.
It's a mating call. Yeah.
Should do that more often. Sometimes I'm like, what if I just flash everyone in the club right now? What would happen?
I think you'd get some takers. I think you would. You don't also seem like the club type of person.
Oh, I'm not the club. I love to dance though. Mm-hmm. I love to dance and do karaoke, but, yeah, the club, I don't know, like the boom, 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 mm-hmm. boom, not my thing.
No, I get that. I mean, I liked it when I was like way younger, but we like randomly got to go to a reggaeton party and it's just like a mass of people and people just like come up behind you and start like grinding and you're just like, no, I'm just here for vibes, man. Like, I'm just here because I love this music and I just want to dance. That's what happens in your 30s is like, I just want to dance. Like, I don't mm-hmm. want someone around me, like, ever. So I totally get that.
Just want to dance.
But where was I going?
The boyfriend? The
what, oh, what yes. Maybe? What was the, what's the last, the most recent final straw?
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, the recent, 2 weeks ago, I was, God, okay. I was having a dilemma, a boy dilemma, mm-hmm. and I was asking everyone. I was asking, you know, the peeps. I was getting everybody's intake on this, and I was like, shit, I need a man perspective. And I really was trying not to invest emotionally into this person, into Ryan, my ex, and mm-hmm. I kind of... that broke down a barrier and was like, okay, like, this is the situation. Can you help me? And then that opened the door for him where he wanted to then, like, ask my advice to ask someone out. And I was helping him and I was, like, encouraging him. And then, like, I find out he's on drugs. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. I just wasted my entire week.
Mm-hmm.
And this emotional thing, I can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Are you like a blocker? Like, do you block him from everything? Like, delete his number?
I don't feel comfortable doing that. He's just on do not disturb, and I ignore. I don't like blocking. I don't know why. Only if it's like someone's I absolutely never want to see again. But
oh well, there's the answer. You kind of want to see him again.
Oh, I can't. I never want. Oh. See, that's a thing. I don't though.
It's hard. Like, I had something that I would say like year and a half off and on, not a good situation. And it wasn't until I was the final one to break up, and I blocked him off of everything. Deleted his number, blocked on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I blocked literally everything possible. And that's the only way, because for me, like, I want to see what you're doing. I want to know what's going on in your life. And so while it is very drastic, it is, because I've done that with like friend breakups too, like breakups, friend breakups. It's the only way that I can actually like healthily move on, because it gives me space. And I do wonder if like just kind of locking, like getting, if you don't have his number anymore, how are you going to like reach him, you know?
Right.
And it is, it's not fun. Like, it was a year of like, it's a lot of highs and lows. After I officially broke off with like the person, I was like, you are not good for me. But then like, I don't know, you start to like, as gross as it is, kind of like fall in love with yourself again. Cause like, does he bring out the best in you, you know?
Does he bring it? That's a good question. He doesn't. I just turn into like help mode with him.
So,
and I'm just exhausted. I'm giving. It's a very much like give take relationship.
Yeah. And like a lot of times too, a partner can like recognize that in another person and take advantage of it. You know?
Yes. That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, for me, if the answer is not yes, then the answer is no. Like, if they're not bringing out the best in you, if they're not, then they're not. Like, there's kind of not like a gray area, you know, which sucks. Mm-hmm. It's not like this is like hard truth, like episode, but it's like, it sucks, you know, but sometimes, cause wasn't there like a British boy? That's not the same guy, is it? Was there a British? Am I making that up?
No, you're not making that up. There's a British boy. You know what? He follows me on everything.
Don't have to talk about it. I promise you.
It's a fun story. Oh, maybe we'll record it and then I can ask him if I can say it, because that's a really fun story.
Okay.
This is all tying together though, because British boy, he came in July to be my plus one to the wedding I officiated. And that's when, like, I realized, like, oh my God, like, this is what I need in my life. Like, my ex-boyfriend, he would have been, like, sitting in the room, like, betting on baseball too social. He couldn't handle social events. Now that he's sober, like, I think but he wouldn't be interacting with my friends at all. And I would be worried about him the entire time. When I should be enjoying the wedding. Mm-hmm. Versus when British boy came, it was like, oh, I don't have to worry about him all. He is out socializing with my friends. He's doing his own thing. He's like making an effort. And that's when I realized, like, oh, that's what it should be like. And I told him that. I'm like, oh, you really made me realize, like, this is what I need. So British boy, I was okay. Studying abroad in London already.
I already love this. It.
Already, you know, the opening to a rom-com. I'm 21 years old and I was interning at a sports live event thing. And I was working weekends, which probably was illegal now that I think about it, because I was not getting paid. So I was working like the last two weekends. When my friend who I went to high school with, she went to school at the University of Surrey. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, Surrey is where Kate Winslet lives in The Holiday.
Ooh, okay. Fun fact, I've never seen that movie.
You would love it.
I know. Everyone tells me I would love it, but I've never been able to get past the first 10 minutes. And I know, like, I love rom-coms. Like, I feel like I've got, like, some weird judgment on it for some reason. But I do need to, like, try it again. I've also never seen Dirty Dancing. There's, like, very famous ones I've, like, never seen. That is the face I always get when, like, I tell a girl that. Yeah.
You gotta see Dirty Dancing. It was a great fucking... get really drunk and watch Dirty Dancing, and you won't regret it.
Okay, I have to. Aaron's not seen it either, so it's like we both are like, we just need to fucking watch this movie.
Oh my god, do it for Valentine's Day. I recommend. I think that would be a great Valentine's Day.
That's actually a really good idea. We have no fucking plans. That's a really great idea. Okay,
get perfect. Drunk.
Done.
Get drunk. Watch Dirty Dancing. Look at me telling married couples what to do.
I love it. I love it.
Okay, so back to this rom com because it was a rom. How old am I? I'm like 28 in the past 7 years. Anyway, so I go, my friend from high school, University of Surrey, she's like, we're having a pub quiz for the Chemistry Society. You should come. It's a Wednesday night. And I'm like, fuck it. I haven't been out. I've been working. I'm going to go. So I went and I was on this team and next to me was this guy. And his phone background was the New England Patriots. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm in London. Why is there football near me? And he's like, oh, I'm a huge Patriots fan. Like, I've come to find out he's a diehard football fan. And we're like talking and stuff. And then comes me drinking an entire bottle of wine. And I, like, kissed him and I was like, are you a virgin? And he said yes.
Oh shit.
And I'm like, I said to him, I'm taking your virginity today.
And she did.
And I did.
Oh my god, how was it? First time
for him, not me.
Well, I mean, yeah, first time for him, but like you're experiencing his first time, you know.
I like, God, it was a blur. I remember falling on my way back to his place. And I'm like, looking back now, I'm like, what did he see in this crazy American girl? Like, because you know me, I'm very loud. And yeah, like I can't. I remember some things, and then I remember waking up like, oh God, what did I do? I was late for work the next day, but I wasn't getting paid, so I'm like, who cares?
Yeah, like fuck that.
Fuck that. And my boss wasn't in that day, so it turned out to be fine. And I thought nothing of it. I was like, oh, that was fun. I finally got my British boy. Because that was my second time studying abroad in London. First time in London, I didn't meet any British boy. That was the friendship study abroad. I made my friends. The second one was the great love.
I want the boys.
You want the boys. But, so I thought nothing of it. We kind of like made loose plans. Like, oh, he's like, oh, I'll come to London. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool, fine. And then I was in class and I was like talking about how tired I was. And he's like, well, if you want, you can come here. I was like, go all the way to Surrey? And he's like, yeah, like we can have pizza and watch a movie. I was like, okay, you know what? Why the fuck not?
Yeah.
Because I was living in, oh God, we were in a dorm and it was like two bunk beds. So I had like three other roommates.
Oh my God.
In the most uncomfortable bed. Ooh. You can imagine. It was sucked. So if some guy was inviting me like to his own private room, I was like, yeah, great. And then from what happened from there is like, I ended up being like, I really like this guy. We ended up not leaving bed for the entire weekend. And It felt like a movie. Like I look back at that, I'm like, that was a movie. Like we were so like crazy back then, I guess. And I remember when we had to part after like spending 3 days together, like we both cried. It was intense.
Aww.
And we ended up dating for like a month. Like we were calling each other boyfriend, girlfriend. Like it was, and then like you live in the US, I live in Britain, like we can't continue. But here we are 7 years later, we're still very good friends, so.
Oh damn. And has he like ever like dated anyone seriously since you, like?
Oh, I found out he dated his roommate afterwards.
Oh, okay,
which he had like I guess been in love with for like all of college, which I had not known. And I was a little sensitive to that because I was getting over a guy that used me. I was getting over a guy that had used me to get over his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like basically the girlfriend without the
like title.
Title, yeah, and that sucked. So I was still getting over that, and so I was like, seriously, if I turned out to be like the distraction for you, like, but apparently he assured our mutual friend that I wasn't, and I believe it since we're still here. He doesn't talk to that other girl. But I don't mean he doesn't really. We talk about our love lives. He doesn't share specifics with me.
I don't know. Is he a talker? Since you've known him, has he been a talker?
Yeah, he talks. We have like a very in-depth discussion about, you know, like online dating, because we're kind of both in the same boat of like on the apps and stuff, and they're not face to face. So I feel like we both were talking about that. But he's never really like told me about any specific girls. We have so many theories, me and my friends. We have so many theories.
Oh my God. If you're comfortable, what are the theories?
Okay. So some people think like when I talk to him about my love life and he like talks with me and stuff. This is what I was talking to Ryan about. Oh my God. Natalie, you're just getting everything out of me.
It's what always happens. I don't know what I do, but people just like talk, and I'm like, all right, as long as you're cool with it being recorded and going out in public, I'm down.
You know, I'm gonna have to share this with only like certain people now.
Also fair. Also very fair. Oh no, I might have lost you.
Oh wait, okay.
There you are. Yeah.
Okay. So I was having a conversation with him because I was like, you know what? Like, I want to be in love again. It's been 6 fucking years since my last relationship. I feel like the last time I felt something for anyone, I got ghosted. That was like right before COVID.
Oh, I remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah.
I'm thankfully much better now. It's been 3 years. Finally over that.
No, but like even like the timing of it was like so fucking bad. And like what sucks is like I know a lot of people that happened to. It's like COVID happened and then people were like, you know what? No. And but gave no explanation. And it was like, this is like the worst time you could do this to us, because we're all like stuck alone, like in our thoughts and feelings. Like everyone's gonna overthink this shit. When it's all them, it's all their bullshit. But how could you not? You're human. It's gonna take a bit to get over.
Totally. And I was like, that was the last thing I was excited about before the world crashed. Obviously, I read about this because I was like trying to read like why I couldn't get over this guy. And apparently like the brain will just like, you know, grasp, you know, like you're drowning. And like, so the buoy is like the last joyful thing you had. So your brain is just constantly trying to grasp onto that.
That makes sense.
Right? So that was it. Okay, I went off topic, but yeah. So I was like kind of telling Sean about this, and I mentioned, oh God, well maybe I can't meet a guy because I'm not successful in my career. Like maybe I exude that energy. Like maybe guys will like me if I'm more successful. And he had said to me, he was like, I mean, I'm from afar, but I think you're way too hard on yourself. You work so hard and you babysit and those kids love you, and that should be a testament of how much you put yourself into whatever you're doing. And I was like, oh my God. So I asked my friends, I'm like, does he still love me? Like what is going on? So here's some context though, Natalie. When he stayed with me, so when we went to the wedding, he came back to New York with me. He left. He left the day before your wedding? No, I came back from Acadia. So the week before your wedding, he left. And we'd shared a bed for like 10 days and nothing.
Whoa. Okay. Were any moves like tried?
Oh, yeah. I did. I found the last night we were together, we were both drunk, and that's when I finally kind of asked him, and he said, I'm going to politely decline.
Oh, that's the most British way.
And I was like, no, what does this mean?
Yeah, oh my God. Well, it's hard. It's like he's in a different continent. Like, that makes it so much harder. And it could even be like self-preservation for himself. But that would have destroyed me. I'd be like, but we're drunk in my bed right now. I'm so hot. Fuck me. Like, fuck me. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think I just have that mindset where it's like, I don't give a shit. Like, let's just...
Mm-hmm.
We're only like alive once. I could be dead the next day. Like, I don't know. I'm very, that's like how I went on the date with a Mormon, and like the minute he said he was Mormon, I was like, no, this guy doesn't fuck. I'm not fucking with you.
Oh my God. I wonder if he does that weird Mormon thing. What's it called? Oh my God. It's like,
oh.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's like they're inside, there's penetration, and then someone like jumps up and. I can't. Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean I've seen British Boys since then. I saw him in Florida in like end of November, early December, where I met his family.
Ooh, meeting the family. Okay, that's a big step.
I mean, and so I'm gonna see him now in April, and I'm gonna stay with his family again. So I don't know. So some people think like, yeah, the self-preservation thing. Some people think he's just deflecting. Like, that's his way of saying, like, you're great. You're great. There's someone out there for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the one. Or the third is, which my friend Charlie came up with, not my cat. I also have a friend named Charlie.
You're like, my cat Charlie came up with.
I mean, he could be. I don't know what he's meowing. He likes, I will say my cat did like British Boy. I will put that out there. He said that, like, maybe because I talk so much about my relationships and, like, love and dating, maybe he thinks I'm just not ready. And that, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It's hard, too, because would you consider him one of your best friends?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know him, and I'm only hearing kind of like this, and like I've seen bits and pieces on social media. It sounds to me like self-preservation. It doesn't sound like deflecting. I think if he's like your best friend, I think he'd be a little bit more honest if he was like, "Hey, I just don't think it's me." But it sounds a little bit like self-preservation of like the fact that there is a literal ocean between you two, and unfortunately, how would that work out? But a move to London would be really cool.
Oh, I moved to London in a heartbeat. Not for him. I would do it. I've always wanted to live in London. Like, my dream is to end up there at one point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't, you know, I'm, God, Callum Turner is my latest obsession. I think he's single. He's British. He was in that Shailene Woodley Netflix movie. He was in Green Room. He's really cute. I don't know. He's a cutie to me.
Well, I'm looking real quick.
Yeah, well, come on.
I believe you. Callum Turner.
C-A-L-L-U-M.
Oh, Callum. Okay. Oh, he's very British looking.
He's
so British looking.
He's very British looking.
He's got that thing, too. I love this. I love a dude that their neck is thicker than their head. Like, there's something about that that just says, like, I can get shit done. It's a very specific look. He's got it. Nice. Okay. He's looking familiar to me, but he is hot and he is British, and that seems to be your type.
That is my type. Unfortunately. Unfortunately, I'm like, people make fun of me and I'm like, I've got a type. Don't judge me. But I'm not into Harry Styles.
No, that's okay.
Because like you would think, because he's British, but like Harry Styles doesn't do it for me. He looks like a child.
There's something about him, like, I like his music a lot, but there's something about him that I'm particularly, like, not attracted to. I don't know what it is, though. But, yeah, like, I totally get it. I totally see. Yeah. I'd be like, yeah, totally.
British rugby players, like, that's the dream.
For me, it's like, if they're British, I need to know they can ruin my life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I would let them ruin my life. Like, fucking, what's-his-face? From Ted Lasso, not the old dude, the young,
not Brett. Oh, Jamie.
Oh, in a heartbeat would let him fuck my life up. His little like Manchester accent, like abso-fucking-lutely. Well, you can destroy my life. Absolutely.
Oh my God. You should, if you weren't married, I'd be like, you could go on Too Hot to Handle, because I feel like those types are always on it. And they merge American and British people.
Yes. Yes, I would. 100%. 100%. Well, fuck. Is that the move? Like, not now, obviously, but like, do you move to London like in the next couple of years? That'd be really cool.
That's the dream. Imagine me writing in London with my little tea, living it all. I don't know, but I also, it's New York or nowhere. So like, I think the dream would be half and half, you know? Mm-hmm. You know how some people are bi-coastal to do LA, New York? I'm like, no, I want to be bi-Atlantic.
Yeah. Bi-Atlantic, bi-continental? Yeah. Fuck yeah. People do it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I just have to have money.
That's the thing. So I saw this thing on TikTok where it was a girl was like, I heard these girls next to me say, I'm so lucky everything works out for me. Like they say it out loud.
Uh-huh.
So she was like, then I started saying it. And then all these like things started happening. She was like, I said it out loud that day. And then someone paid for like my nails because it was like someone I knew and they hadn't seen me a long time. So I do that now and it works. Like I swear to God. Like
really?
I was like, ah, shit. Like I, cause of the tour, I have like no PTO. I'm like tomorrow, like next week, I won't like have, I'll work like 4 days rather than five. Like usually I can get paid for it. And I was like, oh, that sucks. And then today I was like, you know what? No, I'm really lucky. Everything works out for me. And then today in the meeting, I won an extra day of PTO. And I was like, motherfucker. So I want you to start saying it out loud and be like, I'm so lucky. Everything works out for me. And just start to see what, okay, like, happens. Like, it kind of, like, forces you to, for me, like, forces me to be like, well, this is, like, what I'm on alert for now, you know? Like, what am I looking for? What do I deserve, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know what you deserve. And so now it's, like, to be more, like, conscious about it and, like, actively searching for that.
Yes.
And maybe that's London. Maybe that's, like, whatever pops up. I mean, dating fucking blows. And dating apps fucking blow. Like, I will never sit here. Like, I say this all the time on the pod. Like, I met Aaron by chance. I can't imagine. I ghosted left and right on dating apps. Like, I was the worst person on apps. So I have no advice there. But it's like, you know, it sounds like you're on the cusp of, like, knowing, like, no, I deserve way better. And that's where, like, the shift happens. Of, like, you've got your own shit. Like, this is why we've been off and on. Now I know. Now it's time to block. Now it's time to delete your number and just try something new. Spring's right around the corner. Like, dresses are going to come back out. You're going to be out. Daylight savings time. Maybe something pops up production-wise in London, you know?
Right?
There are options. You can do this.
I'm so lucky. Everything works out for me.
Yes. So okay.
That's how it goes, right?
It's something like that. I just say, I'm so lucky. Everything ends up working out. Like, and I think that's the main part. It's like, everything ends up working out. And now I need to find the exact quote, but that's what I've been saying. And I swear to God, it's been fucking working. I know that sounds disgusting and sounds a lot like The Secret, but I am kind of into it.
I mean, it kind of like ties into Buddhism a bit, because like the people I babysit for work for the Buddhist association. So they got me into chanting, and that's kind of like what it is. Like, you chant and you like chant what you want for, like praying, but you're not praying to a God. You're just like, internal. It's like the internal Buddha inside you. Right. Like, so your internal self. So, which I really like. So that's kind of along those lines.
Yeah.
Which I do, you know, because it's so easy when you're tired. You're just like, oh my God, fuck it. It's just like, because January sucked. February's a little bit better. But that's another thing I realized in January. So like, you know, my holidays really sucked because like my grandfather died 2 days before Christmas.
Oh, fuck.
So yeah. So it was like, okay, this time that's supposed to be relaxing really sucks. And like the funeral happened December 30th, and then December 31st, I was back in Brooklyn. It's like, Happy New Year, like, you know, all this change. And I just felt the same. And, you know, like 10 days into January, I was like, why has nothing changed?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm like, no, it's just another month. in the year. We put this weird thing on New Year's. It's like, no, it's just another month, and you just got to get through it.
Yeah. Right?
Like,
yeah, there's this, like, I mean, I love New Year's, like, the party, the getting dressed up, but, like, I don't do resolutions. I try really hard not to look at the past year because it's setting everyone up for this idea that growth is on a very specific, like, timeline and, like, everyone's growing at the same pace. And also that growth is linear. I think that's what I want, the term. When really it's just, like, up and down and it's all around and everyone's going through different things and everyone has, like, different things that helped them to move forward, or maybe they don't have that so they're not progressing as fast. So it does. I think it puts a lot of people in a weird funk because they look back and they're like, well, last year wasn't what I wanted to look like, and now I'm already starting on, like, the wrong foot for the first month. Like, what does that mean? What is that foreshadowing for this year? And it's just like, it's just not how it works. Like, it's not how life works.
Exactly.
But I love getting dressed up and getting drunk.
That is the best part, I will say. Especially if you don't put expectations. Like, oh, I'm going to go, like, so fucking hard. It's like, what do we do for New Year's? My roommate, we went to our neighbor's house. My roommate DJ'd. I sat, drank a bunch of beer, and I was like, this is great.
That's perfect. Yeah.
I'm happy. All I need. Next day was New Year's Day. I think I just slept all day. This is all I want.
Yeah. No, and that's perfect. And, like, I don't know if this puts it in perspective, but, like, we were going to have people over. I got a cold. Like, not even COVID, just a fucking cold that sucked.
Cold.
And then Aaron got it. And I was like, we got to cancel. Like, we can't – people get sick. And so then we just, like, stayed in. We were in bed pretty early, too, and then chilled the next day. But then the next day, because we're trying to have, like, kids this – or start this summer. Mm-hmm. I remember, like, Aaron went to go get takeout. And then in the time that he had gone to grab Mexican food and come back, I was in a full-blown breakdown of, like, I'm not ready for this. Like, in my mind, I was like, we're starting in June. Like, that's 6 months away. I can't fucking do that. We're starting at the end of August, which I, for some reason, makes a huge difference. But I was like, I'm not ready. I can't do this. Like, what the fuck is this? And, like, that was my New Year's Day, right? Like, just being totally freaked out, being like, I am not ready. And then the next day, you're like, oh, whatever, I'm fine. Like, it's all done. But I feel like, yeah, like, just go back to what you're saying. Like, everyone puts this weird, like, pressure on these days. And it's like, fuck it. It's just a day that a lot of us get off. Some of us still have to work. And it is what it is. Like, it's very, like, Bridget Jones' Diary. I think, like,
yes.
New Year's, she starts, like, doing, like, her journaling and, like, trying to change for other people. She's trying to change for other people, not for herself. But I fucking love Bridget Jones' Diary.
Oh, me too.
Like, yeah, I'm obsessed with that movie. It's very good. Yeah, I think that's where I was going with that rant.
I would be freaked out too. I mean, I just planned this trip for London. It's in April, and I'm already like, oh, that's good. That's so soon, but it's like, it's not.
How long are you going for?
Ooh, okay. Well, my sister just booked the flight there. I have to book my flight back to New York. I'm hoping to go for, like, 13 days.
Ooh, okay.
The thing is, we're going. I wanted to go at the end of February because tickets were only $350.
Oh,
and
nice.
I was like, fuck. But my aunt, who has never been to London, it's been her dream. She's like, I'm going to go in April. If you come with me, I will, you know, hotel's on me. Oh,
okay.
I can't miss that. So, and then my sister decided to come too, so that will be fun. And then I'll spend a few days with the British guy, and I'm gonna stay with his family, which is nice. And then my favorite band, Big Thief, is also playing in London, so that's why I kind of wanted to stay a little longer.
Yeah,
that'll be fun. Because, like, I love London. It's like, should I go to a new city? But I haven't been since 2018, which is a very long time for me. Like, it's my second home.
Aww.
So yeah, and I have a lot of friends who live out there too. So it would be really nice to see them. And, like, two of my friends out there got engaged, actually. So.
The more I'm hearing like roots, like, there is, if you wanted to, like, up and leave, like, you could and figure it out and
I
be
could.
Like a cute little quirky American barista Or like babysitter under the table, like be an au pair. Be a fucking au pair.
An au pair, right? God. I feel like if, it's like, it's so hard. I feel like I have two loves in my life, and that's New York and London. Because like then the thought of leaving New York, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have such fucking FOMO. And my family's here, but like London, in a few years, I think a few more years, we'll see. Because I've considered grad school, but then I hate going back to school. Like, the thought of doing homework, just atrocious.
I truly could never. Like, I never will. I just can't.
I don't want to go in debt again. I can't do that. I just don't. Because I considered doing grad, like, when COVID hit, and then, like, I lost my job, and, like, everyone was like, should I go to grad school? I was, like, considering that. Thank God I didn't.
No, I just don't. Yeah, no, it sounds like you made the right choice.
Yeah, now I just work 13-hour days cleaning up after people. Because that's what a production assistant basically is. You basically just... Yeah, I can't... I'm more worried about talking shit about that than I am about boys. Because, unfortunately, you never know who...
No, don't worry. I have... Anything I've edited out, it has been like, I don't need this getting back to... employers or past employers. Shit's real when you're out there. I think you know, I work in customer service, and they were like, what is it for CSATs, the specific program they use? They were like, we want you guys to use an actual picture. And I was like, absolutely not. I'm not using a picture myself. Like, I'm Googleable. And they were like, what do you mean? I was like, you can find me online. Like, there's multiple reasons why you can find me online. I'm not putting a picture of myself with my name under it. Like, no. Oh my God, there was a reason why I brought this up. Just because everything is like can be traced back to you, especially when you're creative and you have to do a fucking day job. So no, don't worry. I've edited out so much stuff.
Right. So I was gonna say producers are like the most obnoxious people. they made the biggest mess out of everybody on set. I was like, are you fucking?
Ooh, I hate that.
Because you know what? Because this goes, I know this is kind of like off topic, but like the Nepo baby thing is like, I think my problem with all these people, not just like of big celebrities, but a lot of like these producers come from money, you know? And they chose to do this, and they never really worked. They never worked to live. They kind of just like worked as they wanted to. So I feel like these people, like these, a lot of these rich people just don't know what it's like to be so dependent on a job. And by job, I mean like the lowest of the low.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, like, you know, they had money. They can fuck around. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's my spiel.
Yeah, no, fuck people with money that never had to, as you put it, like, work to live.
Work to live. Like, if I, you know, my dream is to be a showrunner, right? Like, I want to write and do my own shows. But, like, I feel like I really just want to stick to the 8-hour work week. Like, because, like I said, I'm working 13-hour days, even though I have 30 minutes for lunch, which makes it 12 hours.
Oh, my God. Oh, no, I lost you again.
Yeah.
Wait, hold maybe? Oh, no. Oh, wait. I'm seeing you. I'm seeing you.
Computer.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, cool.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can hear you now. I can hear you now.
Amazing. But yeah, no. 8-hour work week. 4 days a week. No weekends. Because I have to work weekends this week.
Fuck.
My next day off is not until next Wednesday. And then I go, like, right back into babysitting.
Oh, my God. Thank you for, like, doing the pod. Holy shit. I didn't realize it was that intense.
Oh, it's fine. It's good. This is a good unwinder. I'm like, I got a tall boy at the grocery store. And I was like, great.
Got your Narragansett. Yeah, well, I mean, like, COVID really, I think, forced a lot of us to be like, oh, this is not sustainable. Like, my work-life balance is, like, so important to me now. I had a couple weeks ago, I had someone make me late to therapy, and I was, like, repeatedly, I was like, I have to leave this time. is this necessary to be done today? Can this be done in the morning? And they're like, no, it has to happen tonight. It has to happen tonight. And then I found out they waited to the next day. They were like, can you please write this up for me? And I was like helping them out. Like it was someone, like I was doing them a favor. And I had to be like, yo, we need to talk. Like mm-hmm. I told you repeatedly, you made me late for something that I pay for. And I will not allow that to happen again. Like I'm more than happy to help. But if you start messing with my time away from my job, or yeah, away from my job, like then we're going to have an issue. Like I was like so proud of myself because it was a dude too. And I was like, no, don't fuck with my time. So yeah, but it's like, no, I can't do these weird hours. I can't do these weird like weekend situations, which unfortunately, like I feel like production, like I haven't done production in a long time. I think this is part of it was because it was like, this is rough and you can get stuck too, like being mm-hmm. a PA for so long. Because yeah, showrunner would be great. Like producer would be so great, but it's so draining. It's so exhausting, those hours. And it's not like you're like on your feet the whole time too. Like you are
on my feet.
Yeah. Like it's a thing. It's a thing.
It's like, I'm practically a waitress without the tips. Like mm-hmm. I think my roommate is a waitress and she makes more than me.
Ooh, like, yeah.
It's rough because I'm like constantly like, all right, gotta put out snacks, gotta make sure lunch is on time. Like, if I never have to worry about someone else's lunch in my life, I will be one happy woman.
Oh my God. And then I get pissed off at you if you're like, hey, like, do you want to get lunch soon? Like, do you want me to prepare lunch? And they're like, why are you talking about this right now? And then like all of a sudden you're like, they're like, where's lunch? And it's like, no, no, fuck you. I asked mm-hmm. you about this like an hour and a half ago, you like prima donna bullshit person. They also came from money and like ruined my love for like production and stuff like that. But it is, yeah, it is what it is. That's why I'm gonna say I'm really lucky. Everything works out for me. And you're going to start saying it too. And you're going to be in London in the next couple of years.
Yes, I'm so lucky. Everything works out for me.
Yeah. TikTok, man. TikTok's got some good shit. TikTok's got some weird shit. TikTok has some great shit. Oh, sorry. You were going to say something.
Speaking of TikTok having great shit, I don't know if you've seen this one, this question. It's a great question that I've been asking people.
Okay.
Who is someone, like a well-known figure, celebrity, that you would sleep with, but you would be too embarrassed to tell people you slept with? Like, you would not tell people that you slept with this person.
Oh, I feel like I just talked about this with friends. We were like, who's an ugly actor, but that like their talent makes them really hot?
But you wouldn't tell, you would not tell your friends. Like, you'd be embarrassed.
I don't know, because like my whole thing is awkward sex, so I tell everyone everything that I truly feel like right. I would tell them. Who would I be embarrassed to fuck? Who? Who did you say?
I think I said Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. Okay. Yeah, I'd fuck him when I would say it.
I would fuck him. But I'd be like, oh, there's another one that I think you, when I tell you, you'll be like, yeah, you should not tell people that you would fucked him.
Yes.
No, Armie Hammer. That's so bad.
Yeah, that's being like, I would want to fuck Harvey Weinstein. Ew.
Ew, yeah. See? Like that.
Okay, yeah, sex predators. Yeah.
Sex predators, I would not tell people. I think the person on the TikTok... The guy that she was on a date with said Whoopi Goldberg. But like, why don't you? And then for her, it was Howie Mandel, which I understood. I was like, oh, I don't want to tell people I had sex with Howie Mandel.
I guess mine, okay. I feel like it has to be someone who's really dumb but really hot that people have hard opinions about. So for that, I would say Tom Brady. But I would totally tell people. I would totally tell people I fucked Tom Brady. Yeah, totally.
Oh my God. Did you see the photo that he posted the other day?
Oh, I did. His little thirst trap. Yeah.
Yes. I was like, fuck. I would fuck him in a heartbeat. We would have nothing in common. And my diet alone would appall him. Just give me, Tom, if you're listening to this, just give me one night. Just give me one night.
I'm trying to think of one more because I feel like he's hot. Like, I'm not ashamed of that. Okay. I don't know if this will make sense, but it's like a fictional character, but Charlie Kelly from It's Always Sunny.
That's what my cat is named after.
Yes. I would be embarrassed to fuck him, but I do also recognize that, like, he is, like, hot, like, mm-hmm. even as the character. But I would, like, if he was real, I think I would be embarrassed, but I would definitely still fuck him.
That's a really good one. Because, like, if you really think about it, because you're watching the show, it's like, oh, he's so lovable. But you're like, wait, this is a guy that probably smells like cheese. Mm-hmm. Is it? That's like Dennis, too. Oh,
mm-hmm. I know. I thought about Dennis, too, for a second. Because he's just so, like, just, like, ugh, like, shady and gross to women. But I was like, but he is hot. He is hot. Like, maybe. So now I have to think of someone really like that.
Charlie Kelly is a really good one. When I ask people that question, I'm like, I'll say the example Charlie Kelly, if they know It's Always Sunny.
If they don't, they shouldn't be in your life.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, if you're listening to this and you know me and you haven't watched It's Always Sunny, we need to talk.
It's so good. It's so fucking good.
It's my favorite. Me and my roommates, like, we rewatch, like, shows all the time. That's one of ours that's always on. Like, It's Always Sunny, 30 Rock, mm-hmm. Curb Your Enthusiasm is on in the background a lot. Like, those are our top three.
Oh, yeah. I just redid 30 Rock. That's a big one for me. Gilmore Girls is just always on in the background. Because it's, like, it's just, like, white noise at this point. What else do I do? I haven't watched Curb in a long time. I haven't watched Arrested Development in a long time. Aaron is watching. He's doing like episode by episode of It's Always Sunny because there's like a podcast with it where they talk about. Mm-hmm. So like I'll sometimes mm-hmm. watch an episode with him because he'll only do like he will have to listen to the next episode first. And I'm like, why aren't we like binging this? Yeah, I love TV.
Did you watch Abbott Elementary yet?
Oh, I fucking love it.
It's so good. I finally caught up. And I'm like, oh, because, you know, network TV, I'm like, but it's got some great, great lines.
No, it's great. It's still missing. It's like office-ness. Like, there's still something missing, but they're definitely getting, like, way closer. But I love it. Like, I think, like, season three, they're really going to hit, like, their fucking stride. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah. And I also watched over the weekend Kunk on Earth. I don't know if you've heard of that.
I don't know that one.
I went down a rabbit hole because apparently this is like, it's a parody character of like British documentaries, like, you know, Richard Attenborough, but it's like this woman and it's just a joke. It's like dry humor every 10 seconds. And it was great. It's like just her doing the history of the world. But
oh, I love it.
Oh, you should watch the first episode because there's this one scene that I cried and I feel like you would appreciate. And then I discovered like this is the whole thing. Like they have a kunk on Britain and it's like very Nathan Fielder, but British, if that makes sense.
Done. I would 100%.
Watch it. There's only 5 episodes and it's 20 minutes. You can get.
Oh, yeah. No, fuck yeah. We'll watch this like all tomorrow. So we have been recording for about like an hour and normally around this Perfect. Time I ask the guests, is there anything that we have not talked about that they'd want to talk about?
God, I don't think so. I did want to talk about my cat being in heat, but we covered that. I found a way to put that in. So
yeah, that's the title. I'm a cat in heat.
I am a cat in heat. Yes, I am. I'd be popping that pussy. Cause she's literally popping the pussy.
She's putting it out there on display, literally.
Very, very, very envious of her.
Good for her. This makes me wish there were like cat vibes, you know, like there were like vibrators for cats, but then we would be doing it to them. And that feels like crossing a line. There's a way we can make it for their paws on their own time. Ah, your face. This is one of those moments where I wish I did record like the actual like... video, but people always get nervous. They're like, oh no, I'm like, no, we're just so we can see each other. I promise I'm not putting this online because half the time I'm not even like dressed. Like there have been times where I just like don't have pants on. I'm like, no, we're not putting this out there.
Absolutely understandable.
But this has been a great episode. This was super fun. Thank you for having me. Don't you have a podcast coming in the future that I can plug?
You can plug it. It's for friends and family. I'm not trying to be like, but like if. But I'm not saying, like, if you want to listen to whatever I'm obsessed with in January, I was obsessed with this show called The Great on Hulu. So I talk about that a little bit. And yeah, I'm transcribing it right now. So okay. My brother, My brother is producing it. Shout out to my brother for doing this for me.
Yay for big families. Okay, okay.
I know. Shout out to musician brothers. There we go.
Look, the hardest part about putting stuff out there is being excited about the stuff you put out there because you're afraid no one else is going to like it. But I promise you, other people will like it. If you find it funny or interesting, there is a group out there that are going to feel the same way.
That's how I feel, you know, because like I kind of got inspired with, because like with my Instagram stories, I'm like, some people are like, Grace, I just, like my siblings are like, no, I never pay attention. And then other people, like at my grandfather's wake, my sister's best friend's mom was like, yeah, Grace, like right before I go to bed, I see what Grace Michonne is up to. Like, that's my catch up. And I'm like, okay. Are moms my audience? Because I did block my parents for my stories. Because, oh God, I can't. I mean, my parents are in my life too much. I'm like, we got to have one thing.
Sometimes they got to be blocked. No, it's okay.
Because my mom got mad that I said, like, I cursed off my hometown. And she's like, why did you say that? I'm like, did you not see all the racist comments on Facebook, like, from the people? Oh, you know.
Like, no, mom, just be like a little bit more informed. It's okay. I can have hard opinions about the town we come from. It's all good.
It's fine. I'm sure the 10 people watching this are not going to call the Somers mayor and be like, Grace Michonne's talking shit about Somers. Be like, who the fuck is that? Like, ay vey.
You never know. Wait, what's this? What's the podcast called?
My therapist thinks I'm funny.
Okay. All right. I will be plugging that in the intro outro.
Oh my God. Yeah. Check it out. If you're like, who's this random ass chick?
It's Grace.
Yeah. We'll see how it turns out. You know, it's an experiment.
Yay. So. Awesome. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Grace, for being my lovely host. My lovely guest, after working a god-awful amount of hours with no days off, still taking the time to talk to me. Always appreciated, always humbled by that. And you guys have a great, good 2 weeks. Go live, laugh, love, whatever that means to you. And I do really stand by that TikTok that I saw of that girl who saw those girls saying, I'm so lucky, everything works out for me. And like, truly, like it just does. It does. And I don't know if it's, I know it's a little secret-y, I say that in the episode, but I think it just kind of like reframes your perspective of like what's going around or what's happening. Like for example, right? Like I was running out of, you know, paid time off days, but I really, you know, needed them. And so then I'm aware, like when this, like, you know, plops into my lap, and it's like, oh, awesome, it worked out. And then that's just this little like little moment of happiness that you're like, it worked out. I'm stopping. I'm talking a mile a minute. You guys have been great. Y'all have been great. And I will see you. I'll talk to you. You will hear me in 2 weeks. Okay, bye-bye.